Steffi Smalls. Make sure to check us out wherever you're using to stream all your podcasts. You can follow the show at OnBeat19, and you can find me at Steffi Smalls with 3 L's. I'm very excited to announce that today our guest is John Shipley. I hope I said it right. He's a beat writer for the Jaguars. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good. You got the name completely right.
So okay, perfect. It's like always my worst fear growing up with the last name that wasn't as easy to pronounce. I always feel bad if I do it wrong.
Yeah, no, understood. No, you know, you got it. But I'm doing great, and thanks for you guys having me out.
Of course. I'm so excited. So before we like kind of dive into some questions, just chat a little bit, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about you, or really like how you started writing for Jacksonville?
Yeah, of course. Well, I went to school at UCF. I went there to be a journalism major, and I ended up covering the UCF football team my senior year there. That ended up being the year that they went undefeated. They claimed to be champions, but that's not really an idea that I always agreed with. Yeah, it was a really good experience, though, and I had a lot of fun doing it. And then I spent about a year out of sports working at a newspaper in Florida, but I really wanted to get back into sports, and then I found an opportunity in Jacksonville, Denny and the beat report for the Jaguars for Maven, and I'm actually from the area, so I figured, you know, I'd be close to family, I'd be getting back into sports, so I've been doing that since last August, so like the end of last August, and I've done it since then. I've enjoyed it.
That's awesome that you were able to stay like kind of close to the area that you're from, because I know that this doesn't always exactly work out that way with jobs, but it's awesome. So, are you a Jags fan yourself?
No, I'm not. A lot of my family is. I'm not, and it especially helps because, you know, I have to say objective reporting on them, but a good amount of my family is, and a lot of, like the people I grew up with.
That's very cool. That's awesome. Very awesome that you were able to stay in the area. I went to college in Arizona. I'm from Connecticut. So, obviously, I wasn't looking for jobs when I was out there. Now I'm going to medical school in the Caribbean, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, it's nice that you were able to stay around the area. That's awesome. You're familiar with everything. So cool. So were you a football fan growing up?
Oh yeah, no, but football's been, it's like a core piece of my family since generations before me. Like my grandfather, he was like a coach in this area for like 40 something years. And then my dad, my uncle have coached, my younger brother's a football coach. And I've played a little bit growing up. So I've always been a Giants sports fan. That's how I knew what I wanted to do. I played high school football for a bit, and I ended up being terrible at it, so I figured a decent way to stay close to the game, it's in the I've worked it out.
So that's like my family is there. That's like the core of our family as well. So I grew up, I mean, my grandpa played, my uncle played at the same exact high school. I mean, my mom's a huge Giants fan. I'm a Giants fan. I don't know, you probably don't know, but. So my entire family is Giants fans. It was kind of like Sundays were just football and a big meal. My brother is a lot younger than me, so it kind of tied us together. It's something to bond over, but it was something that I hold near and dear to my heart because my family is something that everyone could agree on, because this doesn't always happen. But let's
talk about it. No, same here. Like, it's clearly just like always brought my family together.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like the one time everyone's like kind of getting along, cheering for the same thing, and sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. But Sundays is like just it was so special because everyone was just sitting on the couch after we ate a big meal, and we just watched football, and it was awesome. That's so cool. So let's just dive in. So we're over halfway through the season at this point, which is crazy. What has it been like for you as a reporter with COVID going on? I know this question probably gets exhausted. But with the world kind of disrupted, what changes have you seen with the preseason, or even, you know, just insight as far as COVID affecting the season is?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I'm thankful that last year was my first year, so I got to go through a season like without COVID really impacting it in a big way. So I got to at least see like what normal is supposed to look like, and I definitely miss it. You know, I miss making the daily trip to the stadium and seeing all the different people, like with, like, you know, because the thing a lot of people don't get is that these teams, organizations, it's so much more than just like the coaches and the players and stuff like that. You know, like there's so many people that are inside making the thing go every day, and I was able to make a lot of good relationships with people like that. So that's something I definitely miss. And then I miss in-person press conferences. Zoom, for as like convenient as it is, and for as nice as it is to be able like to do a press conference at home and then maybe go relax and do something after that, I really miss just being in person, because you have like, it's easy to have a back and forth with the coach or right. the player, or like even last year there was an instance where a coach like got hands on and kind of like showed us like how to run a route they were doing. So just cool stuff like that is what we miss out
That's
on.
Really awesome.
And then I think the biggest difference is, yeah, and then the biggest difference is no locker room. Locker room is like that's where you talk to the players the most. That's where you get like your best quotes and stuff. Like last year when Tom Coughlin got fired, I remember the locker room the next day. That's how we discovered that the Jaguars, they ended up like changing all their clocks 5 minutes ahead back to normal time. And like if the locker room wasn't open, we wouldn't have been able to discover that. So it's been different. The Jaguars have done a good job of like helping us cover the team still. Yeah. But it's been a lot different during COVID.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. That's crazy. Especially because I think that there's something very personal about being able to ask the questions in person, being able to make real eye contact. I think it adds a little layer to it that I can imagine you're missing. I mean, even starting to do these podcasts and starting to get on camera, it's very weird for me because I'm very used to talking to people in person. So it's like, it's a little bit out of my comfort zone, but you kind of get used to it as it goes. But the whole world is a little bit like crazy right now. I think everyone's just adjusting. But being in the locker room has to be absolutely crazy. What's like your favorite locker room story or one of your players that you like to interview? Do you have anything from the locker room? I feel like the locker room, not everyone that I interview has locker room access.
Yeah, no, it was definitely an eye-opening, because when I was at UCF, that's what I didn't understand in college, that covering college is much different than covering the NFL, because it's so much more like strict and stuff. Like I think I stepped foot in the UCF locker room like once, whereas opposed to the Jags, it was every day. I was at stadium last year, and it's cool. The guys are, a lot of times they're willing to open up with you. They're almost always willing to, you know, take a second out of whatever they're doing and talking with you. And I guess the best memory from last year was they had a couple of different players on the roster who went to Georgia and a couple of different ones who went to Florida. And just seeing them have like an interlocker debate before the Florida-Georgia game was pretty funny last year.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That's very cool. I can't even imagine being in the locker room. Like, that's such a different, it's so hard because I've been away for school for so long. I haven't even really been able to go to games. So I miss that, like just that atmosphere. But I can imagine when it's just players and just staff, it's a totally different vibe than what you get when it's a game going on.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I mean, just from the little glimpses that teams have put out of their locker rooms this year, like on videos and stuff, it doesn't seem like anything like I saw last year. Like, you know, last year, it's like a ton of people crammed into it. There's music playing, people dancing. But this year, it kind of seems like, you know, they're just kind of, all right, get in here and get out.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, they don't even have fans in the stands. I can't even imagine how bizarre that is for some of these players. Like, I mean, I think right away, like, of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who have been in the league for very long, and they have no one in the stands. It must be such a weird for guys like that. But then you wonder, like, for the rookies, is it kind of an advantage because there's no extra pressure? It's very interesting how everything is now.
Yeah, no, it is. I want to say that I'm pretty sure we're never going to see a season like this again. But the closer we get to the end of this year and that things still aren't back to normal, I'm like scared that next year is still going to be similar. But
yeah,
it is totally different. Like I said, I'm glad I was able to cover the league in a non-COVID year. Just so
yeah,
I can see
awesome.
What normal is supposed to look like. Because I still enjoyed it this year, but it's definitely been
not It's not the same, of course. I mean, but I have to say, I do give credit to the NFL. I feel like they have done a much better job than I maybe imagined with protocol and handling things. Do you kind of feel the same? Does it seem like they're doing it? I know it's hard because you you keep seeing all these, everyone goes on COVID reserve. And again, I haven't looked at the Jags, but I don't know how many guys had popping on and off. I don't have an extensive knowledge on the Jaguars. So you'll have to fill me in a little bit.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I think the league has probably done like really like as much as they probably can at this point.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a few like precautions they could have taken that perhaps they didn't. Like me, I the one thing I probably would criticize is how adamant they seem about like the season being over in 17 weeks. Like I'm not really sure what kind of downside there would have been to,
right,
you know, adding like a bumper week like at the end of the year for canceled games, exactly, or whatever. But other than that, I think they've handled it well for the most part. And, just the Jaguars specifically, considering they're in Florida, I had questions about like how that would go, but they've really handled themselves in a good way. So I have a lot of respect for the Jags specifically and how they've done all this.
That's awesome. That's very cool. So let's dive into the Jags a little bit more. So if you like, what has been kind of a surprise to you this season? I know the Jags are unfortunately struggling a little bit. It's not exactly the season that I'm sure that they hoped for, but is there any players that really surprised you? Is there players that kind of let you down? Is there anything that was just about this season that's been different?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the biggest surprise has to be James Robinson. I mean, you know, I pride myself in following the draft closely, but I can readily admit that I did not know who James Robinson was entering the draft or leaving the draft. I remember when he got signed to the Jaguars as an undrafted free agent, I saw a lot of people talking about it because he had set some like crazy high school and college records, but I didn't really think twice about him. Then when we got out of the training camp, he looked like the real deal. You know, he was pretty much the best running back at every drill they went through. And then they, of course, ended up releasing Leonard Fournette 13 days before the season started. I mean, they made that move without even seeing this guy in a preseason game, and he's gone on to have one of the best rookie seasons of any running back in recent memory, and he's well on his way to breaking pretty much every undrafted offensive record.
Yeah.
With that said, if there are any players that have been disappointing, I think you probably look to Kalavon Chaiton. You know, they drafted him out of LSU with the first round pick with hopes that, you know, he would replace Yannick Ngakoue and immediately give them kind of a pass rush across from Josh Allen. But he only has one sack this year, so he's definitely been the
biggest. You know, it's so crazy because I've been talking to people a lot because I feel like the first round, it's so hit or miss what you end up getting. They could get to the professional platform and it just not go as well. I mean, what I obviously know well is the Giants, and I think of Andrew Thomas, and he's done phenomenal the past 3 weeks, but he really struggled in the beginning of the year. So you see that a lot where they come in as this, everyone's worshiping them a little bit and they don't end up being exactly what you think. But I mean, going back to Robinson, I know that when he rushes for 60 yards, they score over 20 points every single time. That guy has been absolutely phenomenal. He's just a really good, well-rounded player too. It's not necessarily like a breakaway threat that you get from Cook, but he adds his own type of, he's just a different type of running back. You know?
Yeah. He's extremely consistent. That's the thing. You know, like he's not gonna have these like 50-60 yard runs, but I think he's second in the league in like runs of 10 yards. And like just the rate that he get those, and I think the biggest thing that he's talented at is not losing yards. So just the fact that, you know, on an offense that otherwise struggles around him, that he's been able to kind of keep them in positive situations, it's a testament to him.
Yeah, and he absolutely, I mean, he's someone that just, he needs to stay involved every game because he's definitely one of their weapons, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd argue that not only is he probably the best offensive weapon this year, I think he's been their best player overall this year. And that's saying a little bit because Miles Jack has been really impressive at linebacker. And, you know, they have a couple players who have been impressed, but James Robinson, he's been a revelation.
Right. So do you think, thinking about the draft and kind of thinking about what maybe is the weakness this year, is there something that really stands out to you as this is something that definitely needs to get handled in the draft?
I think first of all, you know, if you're ever not sure if you have a quarterback or not, the answer mm-hmm. probably is you don't have one. So, you know, Gardner Minshew entered this season needing to prove that he could be a franchise quarterback, and he struggled before he got hurt. And then once he ended up healing from his injury, he's actually healthy this week, but they're still starting Mike Glennon over him. And I think part of that is, one, Minshew wasn't looking all that impressive before he got injured. And then two, Minshew wasn't exactly completely forthright about his injury. You know, he hid it from the coaching staff for a few weeks. And mm-hmm. when you do that at this level, especially as a quarterback, that just sends, you know, like kind of the wrong message to the coaching staff. So I think quarterback is definitely the number one need. And then after that, I'd probably say pass rush. You know, I mean, they have Josh Allen. They drafted Caleb Onchesom. They only have 11 sacks right now. And that's worse in the league. And they don't have any player with 3 sacks.
That's crazy. I actually didn't know that. So it's definitely an area. I mean, you see it happens across the league too. Pass rush is so important. And it gets completely looked over a little bit sometimes, but that's really interesting for them to go in. So do you think that they would draft a quarterback?
No, I do think they're going to take a quarterback because, I mean, at this point where if you're starting Mike Glennon over a healthy Gardner Minshew, I think it's the same thing as with Nick Foles last year when they benched him for Minshew at the halftime. Yeah. Once you do that, you can't really sell him to anybody as your guy anymore. You know, you can't sell him to a locker room, to the coaching staff, and more importantly, you can't sell him to the fan base. You know, and if they tried to go into next year saying, "Okay, Gardner Minshew's our franchise quarterback, more confident in him," everybody's going to be wondering why he wasn't playing over Mike Glennon. So I think they're going to be hitting the reset button, like just from the top down on the franchise. And I think to do that, they're going to try to bring in one of these top 3 to 4 quarterbacks to be the new like face of the franchise.
Interesting to see these teams that end up having to rebuild, but I agree with you with these quarterbacks. I mean, once you lose kind of, I mean, you lose, you see that the coaches are even losing a little bit of faith in people. You see it even this year. I mean, look at the Bears. They're like, speaking about Foles, they're bumping back and forth between him and Trubisky. It's a little, and then the fan base, you start losing them. So you really want to, and I know a lot of people, I mean, the quarterback is a huge thing. You can't deny it. And so once that is kind of a little bit of a mess, it's you start losing a little bit of the loyalty there too. And I think, you know, like once that starts happening, because you really have to convince, the quarterback has a huge role to convince everyone that they should be there. So once you start showing like a little bit of the loyalty slipping, that's when things get a little hairy.
I was going to say, once like they show any reason to like really question them, and I think you're kind of seeing it in Philadelphia now, you know? I mean, now that the quarterback's starting to struggle, you're just seeing cracks in that franchise from the top down. And that's kind of been Jacksonville's issue for the last decade. They haven't had that franchise quarterback, you know? They've tried, you know, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew, but they've swung and missed every time. So they have to just get it right this time.
Yeah, I would love to see them get Trevor Lawrence. I really would love that.
Yeah, they would too.
yeah. Do you think, so if it was, I mean, you said you followed the draft a little bit. So between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, do you think that there's one over the other that would kind of suit this team a little bit better?
I'd probably say Lawrence, but that's just because I think Lawrence is just a little bit ahead of Fields as a prospect. Yeah. I think both are really impressive, and honestly, Fields would probably be the number one pick in any other draft that didn't have Trevor Lawrence in it.
Right.
But it's just something about Lawrence that just kind of says, like, okay, this is like that type of prospect who is like a franchise savior, you know, something like that. And I just think Lawrence is the type of talent that could kind of ascend the issues Jacksonville has. But with that said, Fields is probably more likely for them, and, unless the Jets somehow win a game. And I think Fields is somebody they should be really happy with, too.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like both are obviously, I mean, they're phenomenal football players. I think both will do very well in the NFL. But it'll be interesting what ends up happening. There's a kind of a tough matchup against the Vikings. I think that, I mean, Cousins was struggling a little bit, but he seems to be kind of getting it together. Is there something with that game that worries you or you think will go well? I'm forgetting if it's home or away.
Yeah, no, it's in Minnesota. The main thing I think they have going for them is that Minnesota's run defense is like near the bottom in the league. And if there's one thing James Robinson's been able to do, it over the years, it was always frustrating with Leonard Fournette that even when they played teams with bad rushing defenses, they still weren't able to take advantage of it. You know, he'd have so many pedestrian games against bad defenses.
Right.
But with Robinson, whenever they play a poor defense, he's able to take advantage of it. It seems like he's putting up 100 rushing yards every time they play a bottom 10 rushing defense. So I think if they had any hope this weekend, it would probably be Robinson.
Right. I think so. I definitely think so. I think also Cousins is one of those players, one of those quarterbacks that if you get him, put a lot of pressure on him, I think that it's very winnable, because when he starts crumbling a little bit, I mean, this goes back to quarterback loyalty too. You see this where then the players start, you see it start falling all over the field. So I think that Cousins is someone that does, if you can add a little pressure, he does have a weak spot.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's really good, like when he's like in a rhythm. But if you try to like make him play out of structure or kind of change plans and make him think on his feet, they normally struggle. So, and that's the thing with their defense. Their defense, its issue is that it's really young and it's missing talent in a few spots. But they play hard. You know, they fly through the football. They give max effort, and because of that, they've been able to luck into a few turnovers. So I can see that happening Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, also, I mean, you see this too, a lot of teams that are struggling. It's just finding a way to finish, right? It's playing first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. So that fourth quarter, you just got to secure the win. You have to find a way to get those points over and find a way to finish.
Yeah, no, that's been Jacksonville's issue. They in most games, like, they keep it really tight in the first half, and then it just kind of gets away from them in the, like, halfway through the third quarter. So, I mean, that's been a thing. I mean, three of their last four games have been decided by 4 points or fewer. So, it's not like they're getting the doors blown off of them every week. It's just for a different reason every week they're coming up short.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I personally, just watching the Giants and following the Giants and writing for them, I have, it's been interesting to see how, because we have had that issue. I mean, there was part of the season where there was three games that we only lost by 6 points or something. And I say we, it's such a bad habit. They. I didn't see. No, it's such a bad habit. I hate when I do that.
You're good. It's really so hard. It's like second nature.
And I think one time, I don't know what player it was, but I saw them right on Twitter, stop saying we, you're not playing. And I'm like, crap. And every time I see it, I think of that tweet. It like goes in my head and I feel so bad.
No, I've asked like a million embarrassing questions, so don't even feel bad. I've done things so much worse than that. You're good.
I'm sure, and I don't think it ever gets easier, because it's like you end up just blurting things out anyways, and you can't, some things you just can't really control, so sometimes it happens. But obviously it's not we, but we've seen the Giants, and I mean, they have Judge kind of in their corner. Do you think that some of the struggles on the Jags is that the coaching staff, there's some kind of flaw within the coaching staff? Is it higher up in the front office? Is there something that you can kind of pinpoint as far as coaching or a little bit higher up goes?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think they've had issues kind of from the top down for a couple of years. They've kind of refused to change their regime other than, you know, bringing Tom Coughlin on in 2017 and then firing him last year. Other than that, they haven't had any real changes, but the losing's continued. I honestly think Doug Marrone's a better coach than the public probably thinks he is. I know he got a bad rap for his Buffalo situation, but I really think, especially this year, he's probably getting the most out of the roster that somebody could get out of them, because it's just a young roster that's losing games by, you know, a bounce or two. But with that said, defensively, they've mismanaged a lot of players. Like, Kalyvon Chaisson, for as much as he struggled, it almost kind of makes sense that he has struggled, because they put him at 4-3 defensive end, even though he's purely a 3-4, you know, linebacker. He's not a guy who should have his hand in the dirt, but that's how they've played him. And they've done that with a couple of different guys. You know, I mean, Miles Jack is having the best year of his career at the side linebacker, but they just played him a middle linebacker for the last 2 years and saw him have the two worst years of his career. So, what, you know, like, what took you so long to figure out this is where he needs to play? Stuff like that. And then in the front office, they've consistently missed, like, the big opportunities they've had. It seems like every pick that they need to hit, or every free agent signing that they need to make sure gets a bust, just ends up blowing up in their face. And that's a big reason their GM got fired shortly after the game last Sunday. So they're definitely moving in a new direction in the front office, and I expect a new coaching staff too.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. And I think it's always, they're going to want to get their guys in there too. But as far as the defense goes, linebackers, do you think that that's something that they're more likely? It sounds like they don't tend to do that in the free agency. Do you think it's something that they will try to address in the draft?
No, I do. I think they're going to try to address, at this point, they have 11 draft picks, and they have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds, 4 in the first 2. So I really do think they're going to pour a lot of resources into the defense. And then when you factor in how much cap space they're supposed to have, I think they're going to add a lot of new faces this year. Like, I don't think their team next year is going to look similar to this one very much.
Yeah, and I mean, that cap space is going to help them tremendously. I think that is going to be, I think this is really, this is finally you're seeing, I mean, kind of in this interim trying to figure out what's going on with the Jags for a while, but I think that making that move after the game, and I think this is really now they're going to just establish themselves as a rebuilding team. I think that a quarterback will secure that, and once they start being able to use all the resources now that they're going to have with caps and the picks, I think that they'll be able to start really establishing that rebuilding.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. Like, with whichever quarterback they take, they can start building, you know, around him fairly quickly. Right. Because, you know, they have all those picks and all that cap space. So it's not like they're going to be placing a rookie quarterback in an awful situation. Exactly. They have a chance to get him to start playing well early.
Yes, exactly. And that's the key. I mean, and honestly, you see in years past, it's very nice to have Seth on the team. And I understand that. But it's also, there's a lot of worth in having younger players grow together. So to have a young team like that, you're really establishing a foundation for the future. So I think that that will also be an advantage that the Jags have. And I think that the fans can be patient and realize it's a rebuilding year, and maybe it's going to take, it's not going to be, you're not winning the Super Bowl next year. Trust me, it was hard as a Giants fan to realize that. We're not winning the Super Bowl, right? So it's the little improvements that you want to see. It's like going in an upward direction rather than downward.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you want to see some progression instead of, you know, just staying stagnant or even taking a step back. Like, this year, you know, for as much young talent as the Jags have, they've taken a step back this year, but they've at least built a foundation that, as long as they make the right decisions, you know, on quarterback and head coach, they have a foundation that can be built on. So they have the potential to have a really promising future, and I think the fan base is excited.
Yeah.
It's just they've had this chance before, so they need to make sure they take better advantage of it.
Yeah. And I mean, this is also kind of just going back a little bit foggy from studying all week, but I'm like jumping back to another point. But this is also one of the best free agent classes for the D line that I think, I mean, in a very long time as far as I can remember. So I wonder if they will end up snagging someone.
Yeah, no, I was saying up until a few days ago, it's really unfortunate Bud Dupree had his ACL injury in the game the other night, because I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that he made a lot of sense, like, for them as like an edge rusher to bring on. But one guy I think that could be interesting is it remains to be seen if Von Miller is going to be with the Broncos next year. And I think kind of bringing him in as like an elder, like veteran for Josh Allen to follow, I think that could be a pretty big move for them if they can work that out.
I honestly never thought of that. That's an interesting bet. Yeah, okay. I could actually see that. I think it'd be a good place for him too. I mean, I know it stinks with Dupree. I really thought he was either gonna come to the Giants or to go to the Jags. Those were the two things that I could see happening, but it's unfortunate. I mean, the injuries are crazy. You've seen with the Jags, right? They have a very beat up roster, I'm pretty sure.
The Jags, it seems like they have like 5 or 6 new guys join the active game day roster like every week. You know, like they have so many people who have ended up on IR, but unfortunately, they didn't come into this year with a big margin of error.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're not getting that consistency either. How are you really supposed to produce if every other week someone has COVID or someone has an injury? It's impossible.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the big thing with the Jaguars is, Not just like injuries, but I mean they've had like rotating quarterbacks basically this year. I mean, 3 different quarterbacks have started games, and when that happens, it's hard for your offense to really develop or for your receivers to take that next step, because they're having to adjust to a new quarterback every week.
Right. Especially when you have young guys too. So this is like, they're really still adjusting themselves. So to have that change, it just doesn't go well. I mean, you can look over at the Bears, right? Like they were doing, I mean, they were holding their own. They were doing, their record was, they were winning games. And then they start changing up the quarterbacks and you see the disruption that that causes. You see the disruption of like kind of those key players. Khalil Mack even was one. I think he might be coming back, but those kind of players, when they get hurt, it's just it just disrupts everything.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think there's one like player you can point to on the Jaguars this year that injuries is just kind of taking away their year. It's a Josh Allen. You know, I mean, he was a star. He was a star for them last year. He was their first rookie to ever make the Pro Bowl. He broke their rookie sack record within 10.5. But this year, he has just battled injury after injury.
Yeah.
It looked like right when he was turning the corner and getting healthy and finally starting to play like his old self again, he ended up getting hurt again. So, I mean, this year's just kind of been a year of attrition for the Jaguars and so many other teams.
Yeah, and I mean, he was really – Allen was such like a frontline defensive player. And then you look at – I know you guys got really hit as far as cornerbacks go. I think there was almost, what, about 4 cornerback injuries on that? It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, for the game this Sunday, all of their top 4 cornerbacks when the season started, 4 of the top 5 won't be playing on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, and the only guy that's left is like their number 4 corner. So
yeah.
They're starting 2 rookies against Thielen and Jefferson that this weekend just because of injuries.
Yeah, Hayden, Henderson, Cleve. I mean, the list goes on. That's especially in one position, and that's hard because you're already looking at going to the next line, and then you go to the next line, but then you're starting to just really – just pull something, for lack of a better term, out of your butt at that point, because what are you going to do? You weren't planning for that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's like you're having to put people on the field who, you know, they didn't even have a preseason to get ready, you know, so their first NFL snaps are coming against, like, all pros at the very end of the season.
Yeah.
So it's just, teams like this year, it feels like have had to adjust in ways that they probably haven't really had to adjust before.
Right.
So it's been interesting to see who's been able to battle through and who's struggled.
Right. It's weird because it's across the NFL. It's almost like this season, you really don't know what's going to, I don't know how. I mean, I barely bet myself. I do a little DraftKings, I don't do anything very serious, but I don't know how people are betting on games, because how can you really be sure that the night before someone's not going to get COVID, or you don't really know what's going to happen because it's so up in the air with these injuries and COVID. We didn't have an off season really, and I mean we're seeing it impact the league.
Yeah, no, it, you really are, and I don't remember like a season before where it seems like each week there's just like something new and something different. And you like the Broncos thing last week, that didn't even happen until Saturday night, so. It just shows, like, kind of the unpredictability of this year. And like I said, kudos to the teams that have managed to kind of fight through it and still have, you know, strong records this year, because it definitely hasn't been easy. I mean, just for example, last week the Jags, they didn't have any of their defensive coaches at practice all week because of COVID protocols. And then they didn't have their defensive coordinator during the game. So they had Doug Marrone was coaching the defense, and they had some of their own players coaching the defense during the week. And then they had different coaches coach the defense on game day. So it's just situations like that that you would have never before had to come across that they like kind of now have to adjust to. And I can't imagine it. I mean, and just being a coach or a player in that situation, I can't imagine how frustrating that would be.
Right. And you hope and imagine, I mean, this will probably be the only time in our lives that a game like the Ravens and the Steelers gets rescheduled a million times and half the teams are out. So I think that at least going into the off season now, we'll see that they're way more prepared. And I think that they'll be able to have a more viable off season. And I think that that was a huge impact on these injuries. I mean, some of these guys really needed that training camp.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they needed not only, you know, the training camp, but they needed that time in the offseason, you know, the time that they're able to work out together to, you know, organize team activities. It's just so different this year. And that's why this year I've been kind of like, if a rookie plays really well this year, I think it's more impressive than ever before. But if they're struggling, I'm like, it's kind of have to give them a pass this year. You know what I mean?
That's why I've been thinking that too. It's like, can we really the rookies are coming in. They're coming from a college system. And now you're expecting them to play in the NFL, but it's not really the NFL. It's going to be like a whole new system next year. It's not going to be what they expected, fingers crossed at least, but it's not going to be the same thing as what years past have seen for years and years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the biggest, like, people I felt bad for was, you know, like, the rookies coming into this year, like, all of the undrafted guys. Like, I'm not sure if James Robinson goes undrafted, if not for COVID, because the biggest reason he went undrafted, I remember I did a story on him where I talked to his college head coach, and he told me, you know, he didn't run the best 40 at the combine, and he planned to run it again at his pro day, you know, hopefully have a better time. But because of COVID, his pro day got canceled. He wasn't able to do it, and he ended up falling through the cracks. So he's just one example, and I'm sure there's so many others. So it just stinks to see so many opportunities kind of changed by this.
Yeah, and I hope that it doesn't impact their future either. I hope that some, at least the coaches are – there has to be a little bit of forgiveness, and I know that's hard. It's a professional league, and acting like they're playing Pop Warner, but there has to be some exception to the fact that this has been an insane year across the board.
Yeah, and I honestly get the feeling that there is a little bit. Like, they still know it's a results-oriented business, and that's a tough thing with football. Like, there's so many times where, you know, a team can have, like, a shoddy record, but you know, maybe they were hit hard by injuries, you know, stuff they can't control. And I think this year is another case of that. But unfortunately, football, you know, NFL is a result-oriented business. And if you don't win, normally the teams try to find somebody who will. And we've seen this year that teams don't even really care that, you know, the fact that it's a pandemic. I mean, we've seen four general managers and three coaches get fired already, you know. So we've seen a healthy amount of change happen already. And I think coaches are sympathetic, but I think the league is just trying to keep moving on like normal.
What's crazy is that Adam Gase is still a coach.
Yeah, I have not, like, figured out how he has been. I'm convinced at this point that he is staying solely for the tank. Like, I think they're keeping him just to get Trevor Lawrence, because I don't know what the other answer would be.
Well, be interesting. I was talking to someone about this the other day. I mean, you know, after the Jets started talking, chatter about Trevor Lawrence, and then he's saying that he might stay. I was wondering if some of these college players might take into account that COVID's kind of disrupted this year and maybe use that to stay another year where they normally wouldn't. Really, I don't know what they're saying. Yeah, I mean, I figured that Adam would be gone right now.
Yeah, no, me too. And I don't envy the kids that have to make these choices right now, and especially the ones that have to make the choice to opt out, because it just seems like such a hard choice for them to have to make. And, but I'm at least hoping for them that things are better this time around, this time next year.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, even for Trevor, you saw he had missed, I think, I don't know, I think you only missed one game. I'm not positive. I don't follow college football as much. I'm a Wildcat alum, and we obviously haven't done very well in a while since Nick Foles. I was there when Nick Foles was there, so I kind of got that entail a little bit. But obviously, yeah. I've not done very well. I adore them, but my alma mater is not impressive, so I don't follow. We're picking up a little bit more now. I'm getting a little bit more involved in the community. But, he even had to miss some time, so you wonder, does he want to get that? So it's very interesting. It'll be very, very interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I was honestly a little surprised that Lawrence opted in to play this year. So I think it just shows that he kind of felt like he had some unfinished business at Clemson. Right. But I feel pretty confident that, you know, he's going to take that next step, and he's going to be a really good quarterback for most likely the Jets. But I know Jaguars fans are hoping the Jets can pick up a win so the Jags can have a chance at him.
I've been rooting for you guys. I hope so. I would love it. I mean, Falcons was doing good. I really thought that they were really in some of those games too. You really thought that they were going to come through. So it's kind of neck and neck at this point. I honestly thought that the Miami game was a little bit of a trap game. I was quite wrong, but I thought they were going to pull through and give you guys that, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought a couple of weeks ago they were going to beat the Patriots, and then I think they ended up got like 4 yards in the second half or something insane like that.
So with all of these quarterbacks, you know, this is kind of a newer, this is very interesting kind of how quarterbacks are, I don't want to say jumping around, but I mean, there's, you look at Cam Newton, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are not secure within their contract. Could you ever see the Jags actually taking someone like Cam or someone that's not from the draft, or do you think that that quarterback is going to come from the draft?
I think the quarterback's going to come from the draft just because, you know, they have to sell to the fan base that, okay, we're starting over. This is, you know, a new regime. We're hitting the restart button. And I think they already kind of tried to go that veteran route with Foles, you know, that journeyman kind of patch over. And I think that just ended up so disastrously that, you know, they haven't drafted a quarterback in the first round since 2014. So I think they're going to go all in on that and try to make him kind of the face of the franchise, you know, the person that the fan base goes crazy for. So I think they're pretty locked into drafting a quarterback as opposed to signing like a veteran like Cam or Matt Stafford.
Right. It's a little bit more security too. You can kind of build, especially if there is a little bit of a staff change. It's kind of nice. I mean, we're seeing that in New York. You're seeing it but all of with these new quarterbacks. It's nice when they get a new coach in there, I think, too, because it's about building that, establishing that relationship. So if you're going to rebuild, I personally think it works best when you rebuild from the bottom, you get a quarterback, and you just build around him.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, you don't want to waste time and miss out a chance to get that quarterback. Like, say you try to build the team before the quarterback. Well, your best chance to get that franchise quarterback is when you're picking, like, you know, first, second, third overall, or picking top 10 like the Giants a few years ago. So, you know, you have to strike while the iron's hot. And, you know, they're probably not going to have a better chance to get a franchise guy than they are this year. So I think they're going to try to take advantage of it.
It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited to see how the Jags do. I think they're going to do phenomenal. I think that this is a really good opportunity to – they have, like, there's some pieces. It's kind of – I mean, you hear this a lot where it's this – there's Swiss cheese holes across – but I think that they have some – they do have some players that are a solid foundation. So it's just about, like, kind of bringing it all together. And moving forward, I mean, thinking about 2021, before we start wrapping things up a little bit, is there one thing that you're super stoked about, a player you're excited to see kind of evolve, or something that, I mean, just gets you very pumped for next season, other than hopefully not having COVID all over the place?
I mean, I've always been so interested in, like, coaching and general manager searches. Like, That's always, like, one of the coolest things to me, like, whenever teams are trying to, like, set out and find those new people. So, and I haven't covered one, you know. Like, I covered Tom Coughlin getting fired last year, but the Jaguars, they didn't do any search because they kept their GM and they kept their head coach. So, I'm looking forward to at least doing a general manager search and potentially a head coach one.
And I think it makes a huge difference. I mean, we're seeing now with Joe Judge over in New York, and I know I sound like a broken record talking about the Giants, but it's that it's, I mean, you see how much of an impact, and you want the players to buy into it. And that's,
no, I mean, you can just, you can tell every Sunday that Judge's teams play like super hard. And I think that's been one of the best, like, head coaching hires of this last season. Awesome. Like, I've been really impressed by Joe Judge.
Yeah, that's so cool. So, a fun, before we wrap up, I think this is very, so I grew up in Connecticut, very small town, and we've had one player go to the NFL, and he played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his name was Scott Lutris. He was a linebacker, but it's very cool. He went to my high school. I was so excited to interview you because that's kind of my connection. So, growing up,
that's awesome.
That was the second team that I always rooted for because I was like, Scott Lutris is going to get his chance.
that's awesome. I've heard the name several times. I mean, that's really awesome to see like this kind of connection.
Yeah, he went to UConn and then I think he was an undrafted free agent, but he played for the Colts after he left the Jags. But for a while, it was fun because growing up when the Giants were on, it was very fun to watch the Jags and hope to see Scott Lutris on the field because he went to Brooklyn High School.
Yeah, no, it is. No, it was actually funny this past draft. the Jaguars drafted a linebacker from Miami, Shaquille Quarterman. I went to high school with him, and I played with him for a little bit. So it's cool. Just stuff like that. Stuff like that's really cool.
It just kind of ties you into other teams. I like a little bit pulling people from other teams too, because you know I grew up a Giants fan, but it was obviously very fun to. So that was always my second favorite team growing up. I could never tell my mother that, but it was very cool. It was very cool to watch him go from Brookfield High School, which is like 1,000 students. This is not an impressive football school, so to watch.
No, that is awesome.
Yeah, so to watch him go to Brookfield and then go to UConn and get drafted as a he was undrafted, so very cool, very very cool. But it was so nice time with you. I don't know, do you want to let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter or I don't know what the
best. Sure. You can follow me and forgive me in advance. I know my Twitter at has multiple underscores in it. I swear to goodness that there's so many people named John Shipley. Yeah. It's not just me, but it's at @John_Shipley. You can follow the site I write at. It's at Jaguar Report. And you can find us at si.com/Jaguar.
That's awesome. Very cool. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to watch you guys. I feel like we'll have to touch base maybe towards the end of the season just so we can see how things are going. I would love to see what happens with
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll touch base. This is so fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it. I really enjoyed it as well. And like I said, I'm always free and willing to talk football and Jaguars. So I'm ready whenever. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. So again, guys, you can follow the show at OnBeat19. That's our Twitter account. And then you could also look at me with my tongue tied. It's been a long week of studying. I'm like, my brain is bad. And then you can also follow at SleeperWire. My Twitter is at Steffi Smalls with 3 L's, because Miss Steffi Smalls will not give me her Twitter. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, John. I can't wait to talk to you and see what happens with these Jags.
Yeah, no, thank you so much again. I really enjoyed it. And hey, and you know, hopefully the Giants can pull out that division title next year.
I hope so. Colt McCoy, please come through.
good. Maybe good luck with that
one. Okay. But while I'm rooting for you with the Vikings, so it was so nice.
Well, thank you. Have a good thank you guys again.